Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, run by John Stadtmiller, and I was on his show for the first time on Wednesday evening, so that's fun. You might want to go back in the archives, Hour 1, and part of Hour 2 as well. Free Speech Central, he created Free Speech Central, he's kept it going, and I did not know this, but I guess I should know this, but we were on, what's it called, live stream or something? I should be able to tell you, but I can't. At some streaming service, and RBN is apparently pretty popular on that service. I did not know that. You learn a lot from John Stadtmiller. And also, go to nationalbugle.com, which has all, well, and also contribute to RBN. Keep it going. And go to nationalbugle.com and download the Koshertified app so that we can have a non-kosher certified nation. How about that? Also, you'll see all the great stories up there on the big board, mostly from Mark Dankoff, who's with me right now. Mark, welcome to the show. Let's turn up your volume. Okay. All right, I think that's better.
Yes. All right.
Okay, and you've been putting lots of stories up on the big board. Where do you want to start? I'm going to start one place.
Okay.
Reverend Manning, maybe we can talk about him a little bit later. But
sure.
He was on, I recorded with him on Wednesday and played it for the Thursday show, and it's worth listening to.
Yes, and that's an interview that I have not yet listened to, but I want to listen to it because Pastor Manning, of course, occupies a very, very unique place in terms of profile, and it sounds like you guys had an incredible conversation on all kinds of things and actually had a very fruitful conversation on the very touchy issue of race. And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, Reverend Manning is an African-American.
He is. He absolutely is. I've seen pictures. and very articulate and very, very intelligent and insightful. And it's certainly worthwhile. And you know, honest. And we tried to have an honest conversation. And I don't think anybody's done that before. They're always saying have a conversation on race. I don't think anybody's ever done that before. It's always just a bunch of lecturing. And
yes.
here we had a conversation. And I don't think we solved all of the race problems of the United States, but, you know, we got off to a good start. Okay, what are we going to get off to a good start on?
Well, there are all kinds of things we can talk about. Certainly, that's always the case. Just to toot my own horn for 10 seconds or less, or more accurately, to toot the good horn of Don Wassel of the Nationalist Times, Adrian Krieg and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and I had a very, very fruitful interview with Don Wassel of the Nationalist Times on UK's Eurofolk Radio. That is up on our big board under MAMES. We look at a war and foreign policy tonight. An incredible piece that I posted just before we went on the air. Afghanistan, has the war cost America $500 billion? That's from the BBC. And the actual figure, when you read the article, is between $760 billion and $1 trillion, folks. This is a must-read for the BBC with all of these supporting data that enables you to see these sickening figures for what they really are. And that dovetails with story number two under war and foreign policy.
Just before we go there, this is
sure.
This is an aside, but you are aware that there was a Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart's doing something else now. I don't know what it is. But the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. So you remember Jon Stewart.
Yes.
And he was against the war in Iraq, but he loved the war in Afghanistan. And when talking about, he used to have these neocons like Bill Kristol on all the time, and he would be complaining about the war in Iraq. And said, "Can't we do the war in Afghanistan again? Because I really like that. What can't we do that again?" I'm just bringing that up.
Yes.
Well, and I think we are doing it over and over again,
thing,
aren't we?
I'm sure our neocon masters are planning on doing it again. if they can possibly get away with it in a far more dangerous situation involving Iran with all that's at stake there. But nonetheless, to think about between $760 billion and $1 trillion going down the drain in that Afghanistan rat hole is just beyond belief. And this dovetails with story number two under war and foreign policy. Trump vows to keep 8,600 troops in Afghanistan. Tom Luongo from the Strategic Culture Foundation has another post we put up at War and Foreign Policy. It's entitled, "The First of Many Cauldrons Forms in the Middle East." And as I put it in terms of the comment, the editorial comment, the winners are of this whole situation in the Middle East. The winners, especially as it involves Syria, are Vladimir Putin, Assad, Iran, and the anti-New World Order movement globally. So I see that as a thumbs up.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Tom Luongo, it's interesting because we had Mark Collett and I had a debate with Tom Luongo and a Jewish guy named Halsey English. And in that debate, Tom Luongo was on Halsey English's side, saying that we shouldn't be talking so much about Jews. But the thing is, when I come across Tom Luongo's writing, he actually has a lot of, you know, really good, intelligent articles. I guess he just feels like you gotta pull your punches regarding Jewish power so that he can continue to have access to these various outlets for his writing.
Yes, and that may well be the case, and I think with a guy like that we need to cut him some degree of slack, because realistically, that's much a factor, folks. And so to the extent that our anti-New World Order, anti-Zionist viewpoint from the responsible alt-right comes into play through people like Luongo, who doesn't quite spell it out necessarily in the same way that we would, we nonetheless understand that if you start spelling it out the way that we do, you're going to go absolutely nowhere with many of the places that otherwise might carry you. Now, I understand that in terms of why what I've been doing in the last 18 years, but the point is that that's a fact.
Yeah, and I do want to add that in that debate, which got taken down very promptly by the sponsors of the debate. I can't remember. Oh, it wasn't taken down by the sponsor of the debate. One of the guys who was moderating was Jean-François Gariepi. He was one of them. It was on the channel belonging to Andy Worski. And for whatever reason, YouTube put it in some sort of suspended state so that the literally 1,000 comments, which were 99% in favor of Mark and my position. And in all honesty, Mark was the one that was getting all the vast majority of the kudos. But yes, indeed, we wiped the floor with those two. But but I did get the impression that Tom Luongo was basically a very intelligent, thoughtful person, but he was just wrong on the question of that debate.
Yes, and I think in this situation it's important to add two things. Dr. Philip Giraldi, of course, who we usually run every single time out, and we've done so in this particular case once again with several of his most recent essays that are on the big board. Even Dr. Philip Giraldi, with all of credentials, found himself being removed from the American Conservative, where Dr. Giraldi's intelligence summary for the American Conservative, in my view, is the best thing about the magazine.
Now, isn't that Ron Unce's magazine?
No, Pat Buchanan started the American Conservative. Now, I think I think in recent times the American Conservative has run Ron a couple of times.
Okay.
But nonetheless, I think on this whole subject of Israel and Jews in the United States, that when Dr. Philip Giraldi a person of his stature and careful analytical style and so forth, is being censored by the American conservative for simply stating what is obvious. And I think that this gives us some degree of slack that will cut Tom Luongo in regard to the facts of the case, in regard to the sorts of conditions and circumstances involving censorship that many of these fellows go through on a daily basis. And this makes Paul Craig Roberts to me all the more interesting. We did post his most recent essay under Elections and Politics. It's entitled In America, Emotion Rules Over Reason. But when we talk about Paul Craig Roberts, I think it's been very clear to both you and me, Dr. Slattery, over some period of time that Dr. Roberts has progressively become clearer and has progressively been taking the gloves off in regard to this whole question of Israel and Jewish influence in America, not only as it relates to these wars, but on some of these domestic issues as it relates to race, as it relates to mainstream media cover-ups for Antifa and Black Lives Matter and so forth and so on. So this is a judgment call that all of us go through who do this sort of thing and have been doing it, at least in my case, since 9/11. And certainly when you have people like Giraldi and Paul Craig Roberts and Tom Luongo who have one foot in our circles and one foot in more quote-unquote mainstream circles in regard to getting at least some of their work published, it's a constant struggle to figure out how far one should go or how far one can go before one is simply read out of the mainstream publications completely. Under foreign policy...
Yeah, and just to underscore yes. that, I think when you're evaluating writers and, you know, their whether it's right for or not for them to pull their punches, if somebody is getting through to the either to the mainstream or, you know, close enough to the mainstream, and they're pulling their punches, but they're getting a lot through to the mainstream, like Tucker Carlson being a prime example.
Yes.
I think that's really positive. If somebody is already operating in the fringes and they're pulling their punches, that's being a gatekeeper. That is trying to distract people away from the real truth. If somebody just is talking on a YouTube channel, or, you know, writing on a blog or something, and they're not going for the full truth, maybe they're actually auditioning to become some sort of shill. So that's all I have to say about that. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes. Well, it's again, it's constantly something that we have to watch, both with ourselves and with other people that are in this business. One of the things that has come up certainly in recent days, as we watch Mr. Netanyahu's machinations as he attempts to save his own political you-know-what in Israel, is his increase in illegal military activities as it relates to these attacks on Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. And, of course, for many people, the question is, how much longer is he going to hold off on doing something criminal that involves Iran overtly in Iran? That finally results in this horrible situation that we have been fearing for quite a number of years now would actually blow up. But this story that Andrei Vlitchek has published on RT, it's entitled "We Are Waiting for War. Israel Has Gone Too Far This Time." The reference point there is Lebanon, but it certainly applies to Syria and to Iraq and to Iranian assets in Iraq that have come under some of these airstrikes. Scott Ritter has a very, very important piece we put under foreign policy tonight, and that is entitled "The Media's Russian Radiation Story Implodes Upon Scrutiny." So in regard to this nuclear accident in Russia, Scott Ritter, with all of his credentials, is the go-to guy to tell us on a technical basis what exactly went wrong there and what the ramifications are, as opposed to the hysteria that was being bandied about mainstream media, and that's in there with the American conservative.
And but his, of course, his credentials are as a weapons inspector, the leader of a team. He would lead a team of rocket scientists, chemists, biologists, and nuclear physicists to inspect for weapons of mass destruction. So he has some background in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had mentioned, of course, Dr. Giraldi, as we do in virtually every show that we record. Dr. Philip Giraldi from Israel-Palestine News, among many other places, has a fine essay entitled How Israel Drives Policies with a Spineless Congress and White House. I found two other things we did put under foreign policy that are well worth mentioning just briefly tonight. Many of you know from a variety of sources that the USS Liberty Veterans Association has been permanently banned from the American Legion National Convention.
I did not know that.
Yes, Joe Metters. I remember interviewing just some years ago, along with some of his USS Liberty surviving shipmates on RBN over a decade ago. Joe has put this on the USS Liberty Veterans Association blog. It started appearing in many, many other places, and we might wonder tonight why that is, folks, that the American Legion National Convention would ban these USS Liberty veterans from having an official presence at their convention. And if that doesn't underscore the power of Israel and the Israeli lobby in the United States, I don't know what does. And certainly if I'm to editorialize on that tonight, I find the position of the American Legion National Convention on this to be absolutely indefensible, absolutely immoral, and absolutely outrageous. And, of course, you can quote me. Finance and economics tonight, excuse me, of all the things that we've put there thus far, Chuck Jones from Forbes has a piece entitled Trump's Budget Deficits Could Double Obama's. So that that's something to take a look at over time as we watch both Republicans and Democrats stumbling into the 2020 elections with a lot of indefensible policies in both parties on a whole variety of subjects. Under immigration and demographics, we've already mentioned Dr. Slattery's amazing conversation, apparently, with Reverend James Manning, African-American Reverend James Manning, when they had their conversation about race on National Bugle Radio on RBN. That is there, folks. That's there under both immigration and demographics. I believe it's also there under our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Two other things. Well, maybe one other thing I'll mention of the new listings that we have there. Birthright Citizenship and the Future of America, Boyd D. Cathey, or Cathey. I don't know how Boyd pronounces his last name, C-A-T-H-E-Y. That comes to us from Lou Rockwell. But Boyd does a fine job of really going into the 14th Amendment of the United States to the United States Constitution and what that really means, as opposed to the way that a left-wing court has interpreted the meaning of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. So that is definitely something that is worth the time of all of our RBN listeners to take a look at that particular essay. A couple of things under election.
Well, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a moot point now, but we had high hopes a couple of years ago because Donald Trump, candidate Trump, and even President Trump, but particularly candidate Trump, was indicating that he would consider ending birthright citizenship, maybe through executive order. And so the initial response from many people was, well, it's part of the 14th Amendment. You'd have to pass a constitutional amendment to repeal it. But I guess I haven't read this article yet, but I think I'm familiar enough with the arguments that that's not necessarily the case.
Yes, and that's why I posted that one for us and for our listeners on RBN. That's Boyd D. Cathey, or Cathey, however Boyd pronounces his last name, C-A-T-H-E-Y. Lou Rockwell It's entitled Birthright Citizenship and the Future of America. We've got that under Immigration and Demographics. Then under Elections and Politics, I've already mentioned Paul Craig Roberts' latest that is listed there. One other thing that I think I'll mention that's at the top of that category, John Pilger reveals Assange's prison conditions, quote, his psychological torture continues unabated, unquote. That is from RT. That makes for very, very ugly reading to take a look at that and to be confronted with what is tonight a very, very serious situation.
We'll be right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. So, Mark, please continue.
And here's one from Dan Pine, P-I-N-E, of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. And this one's entitled, Flyers Accusing Jews of Being Behind the 9/11 Attacks Appear in the San Francisco Area. And then, of course, if you read this piece from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, they quote a regional director or representative of the ADL out there, in this case a lady, is talking about this whole business involving anti-Semitism. I posted an editorial remark there. This is definitely a case of anti-Semitism. It's about like promoting the preposterous suggestion that Jews were and are involved in the Epstein-Maxwell pedophile case.
Or the USS Liberty. Some people would say that Israel attacked the USS Liberty.
Yeah, right. And some people, including Admiral Moore and Richard Helms, Indeed, Rusk, among many others, say that they did it deliberately. And all of these USS Liberty survivors, including our good friend Phil Turney, both of RBN and of the American Free Press, underscore from an eyewitness perspective that there's no question that they did it deliberately. Yeah. And some of their own publications are now acknowledging, however much they try to keep it back on page 12Z, that Israel did it deliberately. But, yeah, this is all anti-Semitism, right? So it's interesting that this whole business of Jews and Israel and 9/11 is now circulating via flyers in the San Francisco area, and the Jewish Telegraphic Agency is quite sensitive to this whole business.
Yeah, I mean, some people would say that Jonathan Pollard was part of a Israeli spy ring, and that he even got arrested for it.
Yeah, that's right, and he even went to prison for it, and in my view, should have been executed. But at any rate, this is another example, right, of anti-Semitism to expose that, among many other things, that I talked to Press Television about the other day in regard to the seamless garment based upon the connection of the Epstein-Maxwell Mossad pedophile case to a series of other things
By the way, I call it a kosher certification scandal.
Yeah, that's right, and that these things involve Israel's history with the United States. And that's one of the things I did emphasize in this Press TV interview the other day. It was a short piece, maybe if it's in 25 seconds, but I was basically saying that I agreed with Ilhan Omar and Congresswoman Tlaib, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, that this whole business of Israel is a real losing proposition in regard to the money that's involved and in regard to the policies of the Israeli government. And I made it very clear to Press Television and contextualized it by saying that, hey, everyone knows that I'm a man of the American right, the old right, the anti-New World Order right, the anti-Zionist right, and that I happen to be a Christian, and that I'm a white male, and all of these other things. So looking at this from my perspective on this issue and this issue alone, these two congresswomen are absolutely correct. And I went on to say that that while I agreed with their perspective on the atrocities that Israel is perpetrating against the Palestinians and against the Gazans and on the West Bank and so forth and so on, that I wanted Americans to understand just how counterproductive these policies are in terms of American interests. And when I pointed out just briefly, it was a 3 minute and 25 second segment or something like that, all of the things that Israel has done to the United States involving espionage operations of all conceivable types and criminal activities aimed at the United States, and I listed them all. I said this Epstein-Maxwell Mossad pedophile case, and I referenced what Whitney Webb had said about all of this in Mint Press News, that we'll get reference Whitney Webb on this. I said this is first and foremost what the average American, who maybe doesn't know a lot about the Palestinian situation and the Palestinian tragedy, ought to be focusing on first and foremost. Why are we shelling out this kind of money to support a foreign power that basically has us in all of these surrogate wars in the Middle East, and that has shown time and again that it is fully capable of operating against the government of the United States and against the interests of the American people and their true national security time and time again. So that's my perspective on that, certainly. I know that that's your perspective as well, Dr. Slattery. Mm-hmm. But this is where, obviously, the ADL and the Jewish Telegraphic Agency are getting extremely nervous when these flyers are appearing in the San Francisco area. I haven't seen one of the flyers, so I can't evaluate exactly how good the content is or the way in which the point of view that's in there was expressed. But nonetheless, They are obviously sweating about this, and sweating because in conjunction with the Epstein-Maxwell-Mossad case, mm-hmm. the pedophile case, the Jewish establishment in the United States, the ADL, the Poverty Law Center, the American Jewish Congress, IPAC, and all the rest of them are really sweating through this because surely this is going to continue being a question for the American public of connecting the dots.
It sure is. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back. So, yes, I do think the ADL and the Mossad are probably shaking in their boots now over this whole Jeffrey Epstein case. All right, what else do we have up there on the big board?
All kinds of things. I just wanted to mention a couple of additional stories. Under elections and politics, Philip Giraldi of the Council for the National Interest, one time of the American Conservative and, of course, a longtime CIA station chief, has a post entitled Impeachment Time.
Yeah, I saw that one.
What's that?
I saw that one.
Yeah, so that's interesting that someone of Dr. Giraldi's perspective actually believes that it's time to consider giving Mr. Trump the hook, but not for the usual reasons that are advanced in mainstream media. That's certainly worth glancing at. And then Israel National News.
I will just say, I glanced at it, And, you know, I just wonder about that, because it seemed to me that for the most part, he was suggesting that Trump should be impeached over bad policy. And certainly there's lots of bad policy there. But my understanding is that impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors, not for bad policy.
Well, I think that that's one issue, certainly, that can be argued on the other side of this. The other, Dr. Giraldi mentions Mike Pence at the end of the piece, and he, of course, recognizes that that's a real red flag for many of us. And certainly if Pence were ever to come into the White House, we would have an absolute Zionist fanatic in the Oval Office without any of the possible impediments to the total pro-Zionist zealotry that might be there with Donald Trump. I mean, if Pence should ever become president of the United States, between Pence and Franklin Graham and John Hagee, we might as well declare war on Iran and Putin tomorrow.
Well, I have a question for you regarding this, because there had been rumors a few months ago that Trump was considering ditching Pence and asking Tucker Carlson to be his running mate. Now, that sounds like, it sounds like my wishful thinking, but I mean, Tucker Carlson would make Trump impeachment proof, right? And maybe an impeachment proof Trump would be less vulnerable to these, you know, deep state or congressional or media, well, the Jew d'etat, so to speak. That's my thinking, but you remember President Nixon.
Yes.
And Vice President Agnew. And I think Vice President Agnew was more maligned and more distrusted by the establishment than Nixon. Well, they did wind up getting rid of Agnew before they turned on Nixon. Do you think that they got rid of Agnew because they wanted to get rid of Nixon? And they feared Agnew even more than Nixon?
Yes, I think that's exactly the case, and I think Spiro Agnew, before his death, made it very, very clear that he believed that there was a Zionist hand behind his own destruction in the American media. And then, of course, as we all know, we ended up with Gerald Ford, and then once Ford became president, we ended up with Nelson Rockefeller. And so clearly we have a situation going back to that time frame. There isn't a doubt in my mind that the political establishment of the United States wanted Nixon's hide, but they certainly did not want to have Spiro Agnew elevated to the White House.
So you wonder, I mean, it would be, I guess Pence was probably useful in the election, but I think people should really consider carefully whether they're... whether their VP is going to be impeachment repellent or assassin bait.
Yes, and we live in a day and an age, sadly, when we have to get into such unpleasantries in the fashion that we do on the air. But it'll be an interesting thing to watch, certainly with 2020 coming for. And to me, this whole Israel question keeps coming back into focus, because on the one hand, you have elements in the Jewish press and in the Jewish lobby that want to label Donald Trump as an anti-Semite, despite the fact that he is the most, arguably, the most pro-Zionist president we've ever had in terms of the things that he has done since he's taken office that he said he would do, and I'm to East Jerusalem and the occupied territories, moving the American embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, and that sort of thing. Other thing that that is amazing here, of course, is the well-known connections of Trump with Jewish financial circles in New York, and the fact that his son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew, you know, you look at all of this, and it's like, whatever else it may be, it's kind of hard to sell the idea that he is an anti-Semite.
Right.
And yet, the interesting thing is that despite whatever he seems to give Israel on a platter, There's this constant suggestion that Mr. Trump is an anti-Semite. But then when you look at the Democratic Party, and this is something that I had said to Press TV, I think like two interviews ago, when you look at the Democratic Party, it's going to be interesting to watch this series of primaries coming up for a variety of different reasons. But this whole question of Israel, and of course you can well nigh credit Omar and Tlaib for having something to do with this in regard to bringing into the Democratic Party the beginning of a very pro-Palestine, anti-Zionist point of view. Mm-hmm. And while I'm not suggesting that that is the majority view now in the Democratic Party, nonetheless, it's really unheard of that we would now be considering a situation where the Democrats are trying to figure out how they once again position themselves, quote unquote, as the party of peace, which is to me somewhat laughable given the history of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in office. Mm-hmm. With all of the things, illegal things that they have done in terms of military mm-hmm. activities and so forth and yeah. so on.
And if I may, I'd just like to interject, I think George W. Bush should get the prize of being the most Zionist president. What Donald Trump has done is with the, relocating the embassy and recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan is it's symbolic. Symbolism is important, but it's symbolic. What Bush did in his response to 9/11 with the invasion of Afghanistan, with the invasion of Iraq, with the Patriot Act, that was really substantive.
No question about it, and I think that that's a good reading of history, and clearly from my own perspective, and I've said it for a number of years now publicly, the so-called Project for the New American Century, and its 1996 publication, A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm.
Which wasn't the Project for American Century per se, but several leading individuals from the Project of American for a New American Century went to Israel and wrote the Clean Break, right? We're talking about
Richard there was very strong representation in that document with the so-called Wimser. Project for the New American Century. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, to me, that was the roadmap that mm-hmm. Mr. Bush followed to a T once he took office and once we had this interesting incident known as 9/11 played right into the yes.
Quick question. Do you think George W. Bush consciously followed that plan, knew he was following that plan? Because the plan was certainly followed.
Yes.
Do you think he understood that he was following the plan?
I met the guy once and had a conversation with him when he was running for governor of Texas. That goes back to 1994. My wife and I met him in a private gathering when I was, frankly, trying to help the Texas gun lobby get rid of Ann Richards. Mm-hmm. And the only alternative that we had was George W. Bush. And it was well known to the Bush people, of course, that I'd worked with Buchanan in 92. And obviously was going to be lining up with him in 96 again. So we kind of had each other at arm's length. But nonetheless...
What was your impression?
What's that?
What was your impression of his intellect, of his ability to understand things?
I don't think he is the moron that he has been depicted as being okay. in the mainstream media in okay. the past. I don't think he is a particularly nuanced person. Certainly his academic background and professional background are extremely dubious in terms of subsequently being elected to the American presidency. And the other thing is that when it comes to George W. Bush and certainly his selection of Dick Cheney, and then subsequently, surrounding himself with the Richard Pearls and surrounding himself with these other individuals with project connections. This is where, to me, you run into this circumstance where what Bush consciously was following their roadmap or was simply not insightful enough to understand that he was being pulled on like a heated flying suit, as my late Air Force father would have put it. I don't know. I mean, it's but regardless of which of the two it is, he followed the plan to a T. So, Bush, I think, as long as we're going down that road a little bit in this broadcast, I don't think there's any question that George W. Bush now will be forever remembered for having gotten the United States into what is the greatest military disaster in its history, that disaster is still unfolding, and that this disaster is going to make the Vietnam conflict look like child's play by comparison in regard to the stakes that are involved and the dangers of a global situation that could basically change the landscape of the world forever.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I had interrupted you. You were making a point, and I interrupted you.
No, I just I think that when it comes to George W. Bush, I think that that's you know, as my wife is from Colombia originally. Her native language is Castilian Spanish. She and the later president of the United States are speaking just to one another. I understand a little bit of Spanish. I had some things I should have said to Mr. Bush in German, but at any rate, I didn't.
Does Bush speak Spanish? Okay.
My wife was able to converse with him. I mean, I'm sure he's not at my wife's level, and I don't say that with any a low blow directed at the president.
Right. Well, he's not a
native
speaker. That's fine.
But I'm sure his Spanish is not as good as my wife's. But nonetheless, my wife and I talked about the guy later, having met him. Both of us concluded that we certainly were going to vote for him because he wasn't Ann Richards. But neither one of us was positively predisposed toward him in regard to what we sensed to him just in meeting him on that one-time basis. And certainly we even discussed within a night or two of that private party down here in South Texas at the time. It was clear to us that, well, we're going to get King George II candidacy in the Republican Party in 2000 if the guy gets elected as governor. Sure enough, that ended up happening, that he became the 2000 nominee of the Republican Party and was elected president. But in 94, my wife and I were talking about the prospect of a George W. Bush presidency 6 years before it happened, and both of us felt very ominous about that. And certainly after Mr. Bush was elected, and of course that year I was running in this U.S. Senate race in Delaware and had been on CNN and so forth.
Was that in 94?
What's that?
Which year did you run, 94 or
2000.
Oh, 2000, right.
2000. But, in this particular situation with Bush, when he was elected in 2000, my wife and I had left this Constitution Party National gathered in Baltimore that night, and we were driving back to Philadelphia. We stopped at the well-known place on I-95 called the Maryland House pick up some coffee and to use the restroom facilities there. And we got back in the car and we're listening to these reports that Bush had won the election. By this time, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, we woke up and a number of hours later and the election was being contested, as we all know. But just when we first heard the reports of Mr. Bush had been elected, my wife and I, in conversation, went back in this dark parking lot in the Maryland House on I-95 between Baltimore and Philadelphia, and we're reminiscing about our gathering with Mr. Bush in Kerrville, Texas, in 1994. My wife said, "Well, we were prophetic. Here it is, and he's going to be the president of the United States." And she said, "I have no good feelings at all about this." And I just said, "Well, I have no good feelings about it either. I would have been sick, and regardless of who had been elected, in this particular case, Mr. Bush has been elected, and I think it's going to be an extremely ugly road ahead." And then, of course, the following year was 9/11, and everything else that has happened with Mr. Bush and his imperial wars that got us into the mess that we are now in big time. So this is taking me down a brand of memory lane that I just as soon not conjure up, although the Bush presidency and everything that happened about 9/11 with 9/11 led me to what became my alt-right career and my later involvement with RBN. So, you know, the very mysterious things that happen in life many times result in positive things coming out of dreadful circumstances. But here we are now in 2019 talking here on RBN and not being exactly sure of what 2020 is going to bring, much less January of 2021. I mean, this is going to be quite something to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I've you know, Donald Trump's election was the first time that the person I was actually rooting for won. And I remember, I guess my mother, maybe she voted for, did she vote for Johnson and he won? And it was like, if that's victory, I'll take defeat, right? Because, you know, and the irony is Trump's campaign song is "You Can't Always Get What You Want." But, you know, it's the Rolling Stones song. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And it's kind of the opposite, because I got what I wanted, and it's not what I needed. So there you go. But we'll see. But I even though sometimes people call up, say, Stormfront Radio, and they say, oh, or my show here, they say, we're not going to vote our way out of this. But we can't ignore electoral politics. Electoral politics is one of many venues that we've got to struggle in. Okay, we're coming up on the last break, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. Get the tea.com, the tea that makes you go.
And we are back.
Well, I'll just mention a couple of additional stories that folks who go to nationalbugle.com who are listening to this on RBN will want to read. High-tech billionaire Paul Singer, the benefactor of Marco Rubio, by the way, is sending high-tech jobs to Israel, according to Israel National News. Surprise, surprise. Here's one from the San Antonio Express News, my hometown newspaper. Former FBI director's divorce shrouded in mystery. For those of you who remember William Sessions' tenure as the head of the FBI, he was the head of the FBI for both the Waco and Ruby Ridge disasters, but he's ending his divorce of some, I don't remember now, 68 years, and there's quite an article on this in the San Antonio Express News, which we posted. Dr. Slattery, you mentioned Lyndon Johnson today at Lou Rockwell, and we posted it under other news. Philip F. Nelson has a very, very fine piece entitled Traces of LBJ's Personal Involvement in Martin Luther King's Assassination. That is well worth anyone's time who's listening to the broadcast. And then, of course...
you've got my interest.
Yes, and maybe in terms of this evening, if you want to stay with that one for the remaining minutes, we can certainly do that.
Let's hear about it.
Okay, well, the long and the short of it is that this was posted on August 29th and deals... It is a primer. It's condensed and recompiled from something called Who Really Killed Martin Luther King Jr. And this gets into the whole business of the psychological profile of the 36th President of the United States. I never get that technical with Johnson. I just say the guy was a sleazeball. Uh-huh. But at any rate, this gets into some of the technical stuff on his psychological profile and that of J. Edgar Hoover. This gets into some other things that are cited. A psychologist, D. Jablow Hirschman, points out in her book, Power Beyond Reason, The Mental Collapse of Lyndon Johnson, that, quote, the United States was being led by a man who already was or rapidly was becoming psychotic.
You know, I remember ex-President Johnson, because he didn't live long after he left the presidency. I guess he died in January 73. So maybe he was ex-president for about 4 years. But I remember I think it was a 60 Minutes segment where they went down to the LBJ ranch, and he'd grown his hair long. He had long hair, and he was singing some sort of, like, dirty song. So there you go.
Yes. He apparently there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that suggests that Mr. Johnson was not playing with a full deck of cards, at least in his final years. But the curious thing about this, which dovetails with the research on this that I have read coming from Dr. William F. Pepper, Martin Luther King's longtime attorney who has spent a half a century conducting his own personal investigation of the King assassination. The Pepper Trilogy makes for amazing reading, folks. I really recommend it to all of you to take a look at it. But we are reminded that in this essay here by Nelson, that exactly 1 year before MLK's assassination, his Riverside Church Beyond Vietnam speech on April the 4th, 1967, marked the culmination of his long simmering revulsion at Johnson's Vietnam policies and represented his final break with the president. Yes. Rumors soon began surfacing about King possibly making a run for the presidency in 68, and that even included a proposed VP candidate, the famed pediatrician Dr. Benjamin Spock.
Yeah, they wouldn't have won, but they would have made an impact.
I think King might have won if Duke had been his running mate, but not with Spock. Anyway, then by the end of 1967, March 31st, 1968, Johnson announces on television he's not running for re-election. Martin Luther King bites dust in Memphis 4 days later.
Wow.
And then, of course, on June 6th, Robert Kennedy succumbed to his wounds in Los Angeles. But there are all kinds of things that follow in terms of the meat of this article as to why Nelson believes that there was a criminal connection of Johnson to the MLK killing, and obviously he suspects his hand to RFK as well.
That's fascinating. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.